A question I have.
Yes?
After the rapture, what happens?
Good question. Well, according, we have to see the Bible chronology. Like in Revelation 19, we can see a good chronology over there. Also in Daniel 12, we see chronology. Like in Revelation 19, we can see the chronology, for example, also chapter 14, there are the two harvests. And then we see the rapture in Revelation 14, and then we see again Revelation 19, the same scenario. In Revelation 19, we see Armageddon, okay, which follows the rapture, and then it's preceded by the marriage, and then Armageddon comes. You understand? So rapture, marriage, Armageddon.
So after the rapture, it's not Armageddon.
Yes, after the rapture is Armageddon, but just in between there is a marriage feast.
This is the marriage of the Lamb, that the bride with the with the church getting married.
Yes, it's like after the church is raptured in heaven. What are they going to do in heaven? They go play ping pong. What are they going to do? They're going to get married with Christ. You understand? Is that? So that's a natural thing. And we can see that the tribulation, the rapture, the church is in heaven, so there is a marriage in heaven, and after the marriage is Armageddon. I can give you the scripture, right? In Revelation 19, you see in verses 7 to 9 is the marriage, and from verse 11 up is the Armageddon. So here you go, the chronology. So of course, there couldn't be marriage in heaven if there is no rapture first. So there is no question about that. First the rapture, then the marriage. But in Revelation 19, from 7 up, we see first the marriage of the Lamb with the bride that's been raptured, followed by Armageddon. All right.
And who will partake at the marriage?
Well, the marriage is...
Like all the rapture go to the marriage?
Not all the church is part of the bride. We can see that in Daniel 12 verse 1, we can see that it says many is like verse 1. It talks about actually the archangel Michael, who will stand up to defend the people of God, and then it shall be a great affliction, great tribulation, like it was never before. Clearly, describing the tribulation that Jesus was talking about, Matthew 24, verse 21, the tribulation. But then it says after the tribulation, Daniel 12:1, followed by verse 2. Verse 2, it says that then many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, many to everlasting life and many to everlasting shame. So in Daniel 12:1 until 3, in verse 1, it talks about the tribulation and many that sleep, and in that time shall your people be delivered, it says. So the tribulation, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Okay, so how is that? By the rapture. And so in verse 1, so you see the tribulations, okay, and the rapture. So in verse 2, you see the rapture and the resurrections. Verse 2 is the resurrection. It says, many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, many to everlasting life, that's Jesus, rewards, and many to everlasting shame. Here you see that the same resurrection, and the same rapture, there are two categories. Some resurrect to life, Jesus is the life, and some resurrect to shame. Here you see that not all are part of. This shows a difference, that the virgin without oil, everlasting shame, and virgin with oil, that's the bride.
In other words, the whole church will be raptured, right?
Yes.
But now the whole church will marry the bridegroom.
Exactly.
Like you were teaching us before, that there is a distinction in the church. There are faithful ones and unfaithful ones.
Yeah,
yes.
You can see that very clearly in Matthew 25, verse 1. Like there are Jesus symbolized five virgins without oil. That's the unfaithful church. The church like Laodicea, the church disobey, the church who goes to Jesus when they need money, when they are sick, they need healing, they need a miracle to be healed, etc. when they have the devil is bothering them, they need peace in their mind, so they pray. They are sick. I need Jesus for healing. I have no money. I am going to pray for money, etc. I need a wife. I'm going to pray for a wife. I need a job. I'm going to pray for a job. These are opportunists. These are like they're like customers.
In fact, in Matthew 25, it says that the foolish virgins, they are left out of the marriage chamber. Actually, marriage chamber.
Exactly, it says exactly the marriage chamber, and so. The foolish virgin, they are virgin, they're waiting for the lamb, they're waiting for the bridegroom, they're waiting to get married, they know about the marriage, they are lining up outside the door, they would like to go in. Who is this? This can only be the Christians. It's nobody else. Yes. Waiting for the Jesus to get married with him. That's pretty. In fact, Christians who are well into the Bible, because a lot of Christians, they don't even know about the marriage. So he's talking about. But then this don't get to go in. Why? The lamp is empty.
So after the rapture, then the whole church is raptured, and part of the church becomes the bride, the faithful ones, and part of the church, the foolish virgins. What happens to them? Where do they go?
Well, so here is the division: five without oil, the foolish virgins. Okay, without oil, they call foolish. They are called. They get sent away from the marriage chamber, so they go to some place. They are saved. They don't go to the lake of fire. It doesn't say that anywhere. All right, but they are sent to some place in heaven where there is no marriage. Just like all right, I don't know where, but the virgin with the oil, they enter the marriage chamber, which is represented in. Revelation 21 is represented like New Jerusalem, which comes down as a bride. All right, so New Jerusalem is like the marriage chamber, I believe, is New Jerusalem, really. You know, the marriage chamber where the foolish are being locked out. Okay, they are being locked out because New Jerusalem has doors with great big angels stopping people from coming in. Like it says in Revelation 21, I believe it's verse 27, it says, nobody shall come in except them who are written in the book of the Lamb. So in other words, that seems to indicate that only the bride gets to go into New Jerusalem. And I believe that's what the marriage chamber of Matthew 25 releases, is New Jerusalem. Understand? So here we see the great divisions. Daniel 12, verse 2, resurrection unto shame, virgin without oil. You know, Jesus says, I never knew you, get out of here, shame. And resurrection unto life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So that's the virgin with oil. So not the whole church is going to be the bride, because a lot of the church, you can read the Revelation chapter 2 and 3, some of the church Jesus is ashamed of, some church they are dead, Sardis, some church is going to vomit out, Laodicea. Not all church is going to be the bride. It's only those like Philadelphia, those who give their life to Jesus, not just a little money on Sunday.
Now, these people that will be raptured but resurrect to eternal, everlasting shame, you were saying, you think they're going to spend an eternity in shame? I mean, that doesn't look like heaven.
Well, Daniel 12, 2, it says, many shall be raised unto everlasting shame. That's what it says.
Is this heaven or a different place?
I don't know. Jesus said in John 14, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. So, there are... you know, some shacks, and there are some castles. It's like, you can see also in Revelation 20, verse 4, okay, the overcomers who overcome the Antichrist, overcome the mark of the beast, who don't get the mark, they shall sit on thrones, all right, judging. Like Jesus said to the disciple, you shall judge on 12 thrones, judge the tribe of Israel. So it's like the ones who overcome the tribulation, they sit... that's a judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Okay, I'm talking about Revelation 20, verse 4. And they'll judge who? Well, you can see in Revelation 3:10, the message to the church of Philadelphia, it says, I will cause them who say they are Jews, but they are not, We can say they are Christian. They say they are Christian, but they are not. Okay, to come and worship in front of you. To get on their knees. This is Revelation 3:9. Did I say 10 or 9? I think I say 10. Okay, in Revelation 3:9, it says, I will cause them who say they are Jews and they are not to come and worship in front of you, to know I love you. So these are the Christians who sit on thrones, the faithful Philadelphia, the faithful virgin, widow, the ones who evangelize, who reach the lost. Okay.
What about the other ones, the faithful ones who will be part of the marriage? How do you see the marriage? Like an earthly marriage? Or like, do you have any details about the marriage?
Sorry to interrupt you. We are here recording in this nice botanic garden. We are here in Peru. Here there are some peacocks that while children are running after them. They're so cute and wonderful. And you probably hear the birds singing. Because we decided to, you know,
exotic birds.
You know, we are missionaries and we go around the world evangelizing. And we don't have money to build a big studios. So we come in this beautiful botanic garden. We are here with our nice microphone and set up. And people look to us, smile, kind of funny. And we're here enjoying God's creation. In fact, you may hear sometime a car passing by or people talking. Right now, it's just the birds singing. And beautiful peacocks that our children are walking after them, looking and enjoying. Sorry, you need to ask your question again.
No, this garden actually, it's like a little piece of heaven. And can you tell us how is heaven going to be like and the marriage? Like, you think it's just a normal marriage like the ones? Not, I imagine it's not the same like on earth, but do you have any details? How is the marriage going to be like? How do you see it?
Well, the church is the bride of Christ. I believe that our marriage here on earth...
You said part of the church.
Part of the church, yes. Yeah, part of the church. Of course, the faithful church. You can see the Matthew 25, verse 1. It's like our marriage here between husbands and wives is an example of the much superior, much more beautiful, okay, much more enjoyable marriage of the faithful church with Christ. And basically, the husbands and the wives that represent Christ, I mean, the husband, of course, represents Christ, and the wife represents the church. But in a way, if you are a man like me, your wife represents Christ too. Because through your wife, Jesus is able to love you directly. All right? You have a relationship with your wife, which is a little representation of the relationship, greater relationship we're going to have in heaven with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's like it's a spiritual marriage. Now, you, if you want to know the details, that's very, very, very easy. Just wait until you're in heaven, and you will know everything.
Is it going to be eating heavenly music? I don't know, dancing?
Oh, okay.
Some churches think it's a sin to dance. I don't know. What do you see?
No, it's like so religion think that you're going to go to heaven and play the harp on a cloud. How boring. The other things, you're going to go to heaven and sit on church benches. I mean, maybe they want to be raptured at the church bench on the shoulder. Forget it. I mean, that's for me. It's an idea. It's the idea of death. They're not all folks or home dormitories, religious dormitories. Or it says in Revelation chapter 21, it says, talking about New Jerusalem, the prophet said that I did not see any temple inside. So because the Lamb, God and the Lamb are the temple. So thank God there won't be religious cemeteries up there. And like God never commanded to build any religious buildings. And that was a... It's a disobedience. It's like the only temple that you see in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 3:16, is a temple of our body and is like inhabited by the Holy Spirit. So these things that today, you don't know people worshiping really God or really a statue or really a painting or really a church building or really a church bench Sunday morning. I mean, you don't know if they really worship the religion of God more. Sometimes it's hard to tell.
What about, there are some scriptures that people were asking me before. There are some guests at the wedding. And who are these guests?
Well, who are the guests at the wedding? Probably the ones who are not married. Probably.
You mean the
Christians who are not married.
You mean the foolish virgins?
Yes. Guests. Possibly. I mean, I will be able to be more specific when I get there. But they're guests, obviously, they're not part of the bride.
I understand, yeah. And this marriage, how do you see it? Like, it's going to last, like, on earth, like a few hours or one night, or how is it?
No, it will last on earth, in heaven. The marriage is in heaven.
Yeah, I'm comparing it with earthly marriages.
No, it will last 30 days. It will last.
30 days.
30 days.
That's a long time. How do you know 30 days?
Know 30 days. Well, yeah, that's
you're question. Very specific.
You're really examining my teaching.
You got that's a prophecy good. Or something?
Yes. No, but not a prophecy. I don't teach by prophecy. I teach by the Bible. Where do we get these 30 days? Well, for the same way, we know that the Battle of Armageddon will last 45 days.
How do you know that? I mean, I never heard this. I don't think any Christian knows these things.
No.
Are there scriptures specific like this?
Very rare to find, but not the only one.
Are there specific scriptures about this?
God has given the wisdom in the same time to understand the Bible. And I've seen my anointing growing the more I preach it and teach it and live it. God help me. So listen, where do we get these 30 days, the marriage in heaven, 30 days? In Daniel 12, we get these numbers, okay? You see that in Daniel 12, which already quoted, verse 1 talks about the tribulation, the archangel Michael standing up and defending the church, which is a parallel, of course, to Revelation 12, where in verse 7, the devil is cast down from heaven, and so there was a war. It says Revelation 12:7, there is war in heaven, and there's Michael and his angel, they fight against the devil and his angel. So this is the same Michael of Daniel 12, verse 1, that Michael will stand up to defend God's people. Okay, so, and there is war in heaven, the devil is cast down, and we see in Daniel 12, 1, that Michael fights against the devil. There is great tribulation, 3.5 years. And then at this time, the people are delivered. So the great tribulation, we know by other prophets, like Revelation 12:5, Revelation 13:5, pardon, that it lasts 3.5 years, 42 months. So, and then, since we know that the tribulation is 42 months or 1,260 days, where do we find this number? Well, Revelation 12, Revelation 12:6, Revelation 11, 2 and 3,
yes,
it says 1,260 days, okay?
Yes, so, study, yes.
Okay, remember these numbers because we're getting there. So since we know the tribulation is 1,260 days, we read Daniel 12, verse 11 and 12.
Yes.
Okay, so here, let me open the Bible so I make sure I don't get confused here. Okay, so Revelation, here it is. So Daniel 12, 11 and 12, it says, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, this is the beginning of the tribulation, okay? At the abomination that makes desolate set up, okay, that's the beginning of tribulation, shall be 1,290 days. See, here it is, to the 1,260, we find 30 days more. Verse 12, blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days, 1,335 days.
So yeah, these numbers are very mysterious.
Yeah,
how do you explain
very, very,
them?
Very mysterious. Yeah. Okay, now, again, I repeat. Since we know that the tribulation is 1,260 days, so basically we see here added a period of first 30 days and then a period of 45 days. Because from 1,260 goes to 1,290.
Exactly.
That's 30 days. And then from there it jumps to 1,335. That's another added 45 days.
Yeah.
Understand? So we have two sections mysterious, 130, 145 days. Why?
I don't know.
Okay. So but to understand this, we need to understand the whole paragraph. Now, this paragraph, this passage of scripture we are talking about here, it starts really in the chapter, in the preceding chapter, in Daniel 11:21, and it continues until Daniel 12, the end. Understand? Basically, it's you see, the Bible was not written in chapters to begin with, so the story here begins in Daniel 11:21 with
what's the event that's happening?
That's the rise of the Antichrist. Okay, so the Antichrist starts in Daniel 11:21, and until the end, verse 45.
Okay.
And then Daniel 12, it's a continuation of it. It's the same story, the same event. Okay, so the Antichrist rises, all right, he signs the covenant, he breaks it. And then verse 31, chapter 11, okay, he plays abomination. And then that provokes, triggers a great tribulation. All right. And then until there is war after war after war until verse 45, the end of Daniel 11, which is the whole story of the Antichrist. And then...
And this is a period of what? What do you consider this?
Well, this is the Great Tribulation. The 7 years, okay,
It's 7 years or it's 2.5 years?
The 7 years is being signed in Daniel 9:27. Mm. Okay. And he signs a covenant and he breaks it. That's it. Daniel 9:27. And then he jumps to Daniel 11, all right? Daniel 11, verse 21, it starts again with the Antichrist. He rises, all right? And we know by Daniel 9:27, he already signed a covenant for 7 years. Okay, but then from Daniel 11, we see a different aspect. So he Daniel 11, 21, he rises to power. And then he continues war after war after war. Okay, and then 10 scripture later, Daniel 11, 31, he places the abomination which provokes the tribulation, which provokes a bunch of wars by the Antichrist until the end of Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 12 is a resume, it's a condensation. In the first scripture, it talks about the whole great tribulation. It says, and then shall be, at that time shall the great prince Michael stand up to defend your people, it talks about.
So this is the beginning of the 1260 days?
Yeah, it's the beginning of the Great Tribulations. Okay. So at that time, when? At the time of this Great Tribulation, Michael the Archangel stand up to defend God's people. We see that it's a parallel of Daniel chapter 12.
Yes.
Verse 7, the devil is cast down from heaven by Michael and his angels. You see, it's the same event. Okay. So in Daniel...
This is in Revelation 12, right?
In Revelation 12, yes.
You saw Daniel, yeah.
I said Daniel? Sorry. So the event of Daniel 12:1, when Michael stands up to defend God's people, is a parallel of Revelation 12:7 up.
I understand.
Where it talks about Michael the archangel and his angel casting out the devil from heaven. Okay, I'm repeating.
Right.
Is it clear?
Right.
Okay, so back to Daniel 12. So there is a period of great tribulation like was never before, afflictions. Okay, and Michael stands up to defend God's people. All right, and then he says in the scripture, at that time shall your people, the people of Daniel, the Jews, the Old Testament, the Christian spiritual Jews in the New Testament, the Christian. Okay, at that time, in the time which the Great Tribulation, at the end of it, the people, God's people shall be delivered. Everyone that is written in the book. All right, and then the next scripture, verse 2, and many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Not all, many, because... some of them are not going to awake. Some of them are going to stay there waiting for the white throne judgment at the end of the millennium. So this is the rapture, you understand? These are the people of God, the Christian, good and bad. Laodicea and Philadelphia, the dead, the same as the disobedient, the obedient, the foolish virgin and the wise virgin of all eras, from Abel until then, shall awake. Okay, and... some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame. Here you see the bride, virgin with oil. We talked about this before.
Yes.
And the foolish virgin with oil. Okay. So so the end of time, what period is this? It's the Great Tribulation and the Resurrections.
Right.
All right. And then in verse 3, Daniel 12:3, we see the rewards. They that they that righteous shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness who evangelize shall shine as stars forever and ever. So here we see the difference. The Christians that Jesus is ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
The Christians that are wise, who teach the gospel, who try to do what they can. And then there are the special Christians who are preaching the gospel and get people saved. Specifically says, they that turn many to righteousness. See the three steps?
Yes.
One, the Christian of whom Christ is ashamed. It's like three armies of the Lord. Two, the Christians who teach many.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And three, they that turn many to righteousness. Okay. So righteousness is Jesus, salvation. These shall shine as stars. All right. They that be wise shall shine as stars. Shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that be wise. Wise virgins, you understand? And they that turn many to righteousness, like if you go around saving souls, You shine as stars forever and ever.
Okay, I understand the background of what's happening in Daniel 11 and 12. What about the numbers, 30 days and 45 days you were mentioning?
Yeah, exactly. So let's come to the numbers now, mysterious numbers. So number one, we know that the tribulation is 1,260 days. We know that, okay, by a bunch of scriptures. Then we have this mysterious 30 days and followed by another mysterious 45 days. So these are clearly differing events. Now, since we know, okay, that is like the marriage of the Lamb happens before Armageddon, we know this by Revelation 19.
Yes.
Okay, the marriage is Revelation 19, 7. And Armageddon is verse 11.
Right after, yes.
So Armageddon follows the marriage.
Yes.
Okay, since we know that the marriage it could only be after the rapture. You cannot get married to Christ if you're not raptured yet. So these are absolute. You can start counting on this. So you have a tribulation, and then you have the rapture. And then you have, this is the, I'm giving you the chronology, okay?
Yes.
The rapture. And then after the rapture, you have the marriage.
Yes.
And after the marriage, you have Armageddon. You understand?
Yes.
Okay, so basically, this separation here is giving you the length of these events. So event number one, tribulation, 1,260 days.
Yes, yes.
You know that. Okay, next event, what's the next chronology? I just told you, the marriage.
Yes.
Okay, the rapture after the marriage. Okay, the rapture is a second, a few seconds. That's the time to fly, okay? So, we know that after the tribulation comes the marriage. So, in Daniel 12, okay, in Daniel 12, 11 and 12, it says 1,260, and then the next number it gives you is many days?
30.
So, that's the marriage.
That's the
period of the marriage, okay? And the next event after the marriage, what is it?
Armageddon.
And that's Daniel 12, it gives you a period of 45 days.
That's how long the battle will be?
That's how long the battle will be.
Why so long?
Because God wants to kill those guys one by one, all the people, all the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast people.
And what does it say in Daniel then, blessed are they who arrive at Armageddon, after Armageddon?
He says, blessed.
Why are they blessed?
Blessed are they that wait and comes to 1,335.
Yeah, why are they blessed? Actually, Armageddon is not a blessed thing.
No, he's talking about the people who are not raptured.
And?
The people, because you see, after the rapture, after the 3.5 years.
I would have said, blessed are they who are raptured. Why?
You see, after the what happens after the rapture? There is marriage in heaven and hell on earth. Because after we can see in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, that after the rapture, okay, you see the people with the harp of God, in heaven. And it says, those who got the victory on the beast, the mark of the beast, etc. So this can only happen after the rapture. This can only happen after the tribulation. You follow?
Yeah.
And then it says in Revelation, this scripture, Revelation 15, 1 and 2, then at this point is poured down onto the earth the wrath of God. Understand?
When?
After the rapture.
After the rapture is the marriage.
After the rapture is the marriage in heaven. But on earth there is no marriage. There is hell. The Antichrist is still here. The mark of the beast is still here. Armageddon has not come yet. You understand?
So the wrath of God is not the great tribulation then?
Absolutely not. See,
because that's how we are confused, I think.
1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says God has not appointed them unto wrath. And so Christians don't know the Bible much. They think, okay, that means we're not appointed under the tribulation. Wrong. Because God has not appointed them unto wrath. He's talking about God's wrath. But the tribulation is not God's wrath. It's the devil's wrath. As you can see in Revelation 12, verse 10, 11 over there.
So the scripture they use, that we are not appointed unto wrath, is correct. Because we will be raptured before the wrath then.
Absolutely. We are not appointed unto God's wrath. The mark of the beast people are appointed unto God's wrath. Now the question is, when is the wrath?
Yeah.
Okay, I already told you, let me repeat it.
Yes.
Okay, so in Revelation 15, 1 and 2, it says, it talks about the people in heaven having the harps of God, people who got the victory over the mark of the beast, who did not receive the mark on the forehead and the right hand. So that means, and it is at this point, at this stage, okay, Revelation 15, 1 and 2, it is at this point that the wrath of God is being poured out. Which stage? At the stage when these guys are in heaven having had the victory of the mark of the beast.
I understand.
Oh, so why is this important? It is important because this gives us the chronology of the wrath of God.
Yes, you were mentioning to us previously that the Great Tribulation, which the Christian world thinks is the wrath of God, it's actually persecutions from the devil's part.
It's the wrath of the devil.
That's what you said, and that I remember now. It's the wrath of the devil against the Christians, not God persecuting us.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's very good.
Look, let me get it for you. It's Revelation 12, 10, 11, 13 over there. Okay. It's verse 12. Revelation 12, 12. Say, rejoice, you heaven, because the devil has been cast down. But then it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has little time. A little, 42 months. In fact, you see the 42 months, if you keep reading, verse 14, time, times, and half a time, when the woman is protected. Okay, that's time and times, it's Hebrew for 3.5 years. One time, two times, and half a time, that's Hebrew for 3.5 years. You can see that also in Daniel 7 and Daniel 12.
So God will pour out his wrath upon the people who are left after the rapture. These are all the people with the mark of the beast, no?
Exactly.
So Exactly. Everybody who's left has the mark of the beast?
Not everybody.
And no?
Not everybody, no.
Why?
Because some people are going to refuse it. That's why it says...
But then they will be raptured.
No, because they're not saved, you understand? It's like the world is going to be divided. There are going to be some people fighting against the Antichrist for political reason.
Without
the mark of the beast. Okay. That's why it says, wait until 1,335 days at the end of Armageddon, because the Antichrist is going to be cast in the lake of fire and the millennium will start.
So when it says, blessed are they who wait, it talks about the people who don't have the mark?
Yeah, because at this point, the Bible, it doesn't apply to us anymore because we are in heaven and the Bible is going to be in our heart completely in the Spirit. The Bible in paper is not for us anymore because we are the Bible in the Spirit in heaven. So the Bible in paper, this I have in my hands now, is only for the people on earth.
I see. What about the wrath of God? It's going to be 30 days like the marriage or less?
That's the thing. Since we know that 45 days is Armageddon, and since we know that the wrath of God is going to come before Armageddon.
No, you said it's in the same time with the marriage.
Exactly. So since we know that Armageddon is 45 days, and since we know that there is the marriage in heaven. So basically, there is marriage in heaven and hell on earth. There is the love of God in heaven and the wrath of God on earth at the same time in these 30 days.
What happens during the wrath?
During the wrath, there are seven vials which are being poured out. You can see in Revelation 15 and 16, which are being poured out on earth on the mark of the beast people. On the beast, the Antichrist. It's just wrath. It's not destruction, total destruction. That will come with the end of the wrath. See, the Armageddon is the end of the wrath. But it's separated in 45 days. You understand? That's how it is.
Yes.
So most of the wrath is 30 days. But when Armageddon begins, we come down from heaven, Revelation 19:11, then the 45 days of the Armageddon begins. And is separated 30 days wrath of God with the finale, the final wrath of God being Armageddon, another 45 days. Because you see, the destruction of Babylon, which I believe is America, okay, in New York, the banking system, not me, but also a bunch of Bible scholars, I'm not isolated in this. You know, the destruction of Babylon, the prostitute, Revelation 17 and 18, is part of the wrath of God. Understand? It's part of the seven vials of the wrath of God. Yeah, let me read it to you, Revelation 16. I show you the seventh vial. Let me see. In verse 17, Revelation 16, verse 17, and the seven angel poured out his vial into the air. All right, and there was a great earthquake. Verse 18. Okay, so great that there was no since since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great, and the great city was divided into three parts. Okay, the great city, I believe, and many other Bible scholars believe, it's New York and the United States, the center of international banking system, the center of world materialism, which is Babylon the Whore. Okay, Babylon the Whore is the spirit of materialism, Baal, Mammon, today it's called materialism, which has been going around through the ages from empire to empire, religious system, political system. It's been moving wherever the devil had his power, whether it was Egypt, Babylon, etc. In these last days, it's definitely the banking system, the materialistic system is definitely centered in New York, America. So Babylon the Whore today has moved to America. And that's where this nation is going to be burned out in 1 hour with fire, which is for sure must be atomic bombardment, destructions.
You're Revelation. Saying all America will be destroyed in one
United
hour?
United States. Ah. United States will be destroyed, I believe. Bible doesn't say United States. It says America the whore, the prostitute.
Because you say
it says Babylon the whore.
You say United States is the center of materialism. That's why.
Well, everybody will tell
not,
you.
Not all America.
New York is the center of world's financial system, banking system, materialistic system.
You think that Christians in America know this?
Some know, and some don't care. Some are sleeping in the churches.
Well, I remember right now what you were teaching us concerning how to prepare for the end times and for the Great Tribulation. And you were saying to be ready to change place and change country. You think concerning the future destruction of America, you think the Christians should all get out of the United States?
Well, I believe there's going to be some special place in the United States that during the Great Tribulation they'll be protected by the Holy Spirit. But it's a mess. The United States is becoming more and more like Sodom and Gomorrah, more Antichrist. The schools have become demonics. I mean, any Christian with some salt in his head should get out of America. Just like those Jews when they saw the black clouds of Nazism got out of Germany before Adolf Hitler took over completely. So any Christians in America who really loves the Lord should go out of America, go into the third world, preach the gospel, and let the children grow in a place maybe more poor, but not so polluted by materialism, pornography, internet, antichristism, spirits, etc.
But Joseph, is that realistic, all the Christians to leave United States?
To forsake United States? Well, it's not going to happen.
Like,
hardly anybody will leave because they're so brainwashed by Hollywood TV and politics and sleeping in the churches, they're not going to get out. In fact, Jesus said in Great Tribulation, they're going to be destroyed. You can see in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, Jesus said that there's going to be a worldwide persecution against the Christian. Why? Because they're not virgin with oil, they're not wise virgin, they're not going to obey, they're going to disobey. It's been prophesied. But the wise one have left already. Not just from America, even from Europe, which is just as bad. I got out of Europe. To go where? The Holy Spirit will tell you. So anyway, let me finish this. It was a great earthquake, and the great city was divided in three parts. Okay, so I believe that this means that in the United States there will be a great earthquake that will divide the United States in three parts. There have been some prophets, Christian prophets, who envisioned the Atlantic Ocean joined with the Pacific Ocean in the United States.
You mean United States sinking?
No. Divided in three parts. United States cracked in three parts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And what does it say? This Revelation 16:19. Attention here, very important. And when it was divided in three parts, great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give her the cup of his fierceness of his wrath. And then next comes Revelation 17 and 18, which is the destruction of Babylon. So what I believe this is going to happen, what it means, is that God is going to punish Babylon the whore, which is today is America, I believe. And it doesn't say the Bible America, but I believe it's America. Yes. You don't have to believe it, but I believe it, okay? So when it's an interpretation, I'll tell you, you can believe whatever you want, okay?
I know even some Americans believe it.
Yeah, there are prophets who have been prophesying this. No, listen. So right now, it's like Russia, China, which will be the Antichrist, etc., and Europe, which will be the Antichrist basis. They have atomic bombs, but they cannot bomb America because of retaliation. You bomb America or vice versa, you also get destroyed. Because the computerized system, you send your atomic missiles automatically, they send theirs, and you get destroyed too. So that's why mutual destruction has been the deterrent to stop atomic wars in the 20th century until now. Okay, but here God is destroying that Babylon, understand? God will put Babylon on its knees that they cannot retaliate. God will destroy the computerized system. God will destroy the automatic defense, atomic defense system. They cannot retaliate. They cannot answer to an atomic attack. Why? I just read it. Shall I read it again?
Yes.
Okay. Revelation 16:19. And the great city was divided in three parts. Earthquake. Mm-hmm. Divided the United States in three parts. And the cities of the nation fell. And Babylon came into remembrance of God. So there's going to be such a big earthquake. We destroy America in three parts. That already half of America will be destroyed just by the earthquake. Wherever half is going to be left, everything's going to be screwed up. The satellite system, the computer system, the electric system, nothing's going to work. At the Antichrist is going to push the button and wipe them out in 1 hour. Burn them up. Sudden surprise atomic attack. This is attention. This is an interpretation. Okay? So that's why it says, I believe, in Revelation 17 and 18, that the Babylon, the prostitute, will be burned in 1 hour. Read the Revelation 17 and 18. It's a perfect description of America today. Okay, that's it. Did you have any more questions?
Yes, I mean, I don't have more questions, but if you can please clarify, because it's a very sad story.
Well, look what happened to Nazi Germany, completely annihilated by America at that time, which was still Christian, I was on the right side. But now America took the place of the Nazi, in fact, worse. So, like you said before about Christians should leave America, yeah, they should, but they're not going to. Lot should have left Sodom, but he didn't. Yeah. They had to drag it by their hands. Okay? So, look what it says here in Revelation 18:4. And there are many false prophets who are preaching. You know what they're preaching? They say, God was going to spare Sodom if they found 10 people in it. So, if there are 10 righteous in America, God will spare America. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
Well, if it says in Revelations, yeah, if it doesn't
but
say.
But that's ridiculous. God is not going to spare America if there are 10 righteous. Look what it says about Babylon the Whore, verse 4.
Yes.
Revelation 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. So what is God saying here? It's not saying that there are 10 guys who read the Bible, I'm going to spare America. It's not saying that.
Yes.
It's not saying that. It's saying, come out. Otherwise, you're going to partake of her sins and become just as sinful. In other words, a Christian who stay in America, they become as sinful as America. I interpret America, you can interpret whatever. Okay. So, and then what it says at the end of verse 4, and that you receive not of the plagues. So, number one, if you don't get out of whatever country this is going to be, all right, I believe it's America, but whatever country you believe. If you don't come out, one, you partake of her sins, you become just as sinful. Two, you partake of her plagues, in other words, a punishment. You're going to be destroyed. That's what it says. Revelation 18:4. So it doesn't say if I find 10 righteous, I will spare. I'm sorry. It says you become a sinful. Okay, God said to Abraham, if I find the Raja, we spare. But he was talking about Sodom. Why? Because God knew there was only one guy and two girls. All right? Simple.
Yeah, well, that's like changing the scriptures to say God will spare, because it doesn't say in the book of Revelation.
First of all, you should never apply a scripture that's a prophecy for Sodom and Gomorrah. You cannot apply, to everywhere. Boy, look at what happened to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The devil threw a couple of atomic bombs. America, in fact. You know that Nagasaki, it was the number one Christian city in Japan. Number one with the greatest Christian population of Japan. Why didn't God spare it? It's not like that. That was a message for Sodom. All right? So if you want God to spare you, you get out of America. What are you doing in America? Just enjoy money? Material? You will dare worshiping materialism on your knees. Get out. Go preach the gospel. Go into all the world. Go move. Look, I am here in South America. Join. Preach the gospel every day. If you're a Christian, just move. Go to a place, Africa, South America, some place where you can start a new life. Sell your car, your house. Go get a shack in Africa. Grow potatoes and witness to the black guys next to you. Amen. Find a stable in Bethlehem, in Congo, in South Africa, wherever you want to go. South America, Central America, whatever. And just witness. Witness. You don't have to get a diploma hang on the wall that you can split the theological hair in 10 different ways. Just say what Jesus did for you. He loved you. He saved you. You were an alcoholic, TV-olic or movie-olic or porno-olic or whatever you were. And God delivered you, saved your marriage, saved you, got you out, stop you from going to hell where you deserve to go, and now you're going to heaven. Just tell people.
Amen.
Don't tell people what God can do, how God is great. Tell people what God did with you, how great things God did. Not that he can do what he did. The Pharisees were preaching what God could do. The disciples were preaching what God did.
Amen.
That's the difference between preaching empty sermons and testifying real facts of what God did in your life. Amen. So conclusion on the days, okay, Daniel 12:11-12, okay, talks about 1,209, 1,335, so the breakdown is very simple. 1,260 is the
Great Tribulation.
1,290 is the Great Tribulation, plus 30 days of marriage in heaven and wrath of God on earth.
Right.
And 1,335
is the Great Tribulation.
It's 45 days
plus
extra.
The marriage, plus the
exactly.
Armageddon.
It's 1,260 Tribulation. 30 days more, wrath and marriage.
Yeah.
Wrath here,
yeah.
A marriage,
yeah.
In heaven. And 45 days, the Armageddon.
I should teach just to see if I understood.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. I understood everything.
All right. So God bless you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, brethren, let's get out from our wheelchairs, religious wheelchair. Let's get out of our old folks' home churches. Let's stop preaching the gospel to people who are tired of listening, people who just want to become more and more and more holy. It's unscriptural for you to become more holy. Don't you know you're not supposed to become more holy?
Sorry.
Is that stumbling enough? Now
sorry.
Listen. No, let me explain this. It's a scripture. You're not supposed to become more holy. You are supposed to help the people who are not saved to become more holy. You know, so if you're already saved, you're not supposed to grow higher in holiness while people are growing lower into hell. You're supposed to, still as bad as you are, yet saved. Still as horrible as you are, yet saved. Go get somebody out of hell, somebody into salvation, get somebody to receive Jesus, and then when everybody is saved, then you can concentrate on shining your halo in your head.
Amen. But I strongly believe as you go and help the lost, your halo will get shiner.
Absolutely.
That's how I see it.
But true holiness is not to become more perfectionist in religion, etc., like the Pharisees. True holiness is to go witness to the prostitutes like Jesus. Go to the publicans like Jesus. Go sleep under the trees who can evangelize the people who sleep under the trees. When I received the Holy Spirit in 1973, I was in London with the brethren. We used to go sleep under the trees to witness to the hippie, to the drug addicts who were sleeping under the trees. I just received the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I just knew that Jesus loved me. I loved him, and I wanted to preach him. I don't know how holy I was. I was probably very unholy. But you know what? I became holy as I preached the gospel. So please, let's get out of this dormitory religious building, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The people going to hell, they shouldn't go, while we are there singing songs Sunday morning in our dormitories. Get out of those dormitories. Do like Jesus. Follow Jesus in the streets. Follow him in every house. Follow him everywhere there is a lost soul. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. And praise God. And thank you, Jesus. And God rebuke this horrible spirit of religion, which is good for nothing. It keeps Christians sleeping, doing nothing. False religious system. We need to do like Jesus and reach the lost. Not keep preaching the gospel in where people already saved, because that's where the money is. Those are the people who give money, and the lost give nothing. We have to pay. I pay to preach the gospel to the lost. You know that? I have to tighten my belt. There are very few people give me the tithe. Very few give me donation. But praise God, we have enough. So, of course, if I preach the gospel in churches, when I did, there was a lot of money coming. But God told me, get out of these places where people already believe. Go where nobody goes. In the streets, in the house, and everywhere. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. God bless you.
Last question. Can we go eat? Oh, there is your children and your wife. Okay. They're preparing a beautiful picnic here in the garden.
Right. Okay, hallelujah. What a heavenly vision. We're in a park, we have a picnic over there. For me, this is heaven.
I'm thanking the Lord every day we're here in Latin America.
You see, we don't have expensive food. We just whatever the Lord gives us. In fact, our budget, the financial budget, is quite low. We think about doing some food collection for the family that we distribute, and we help, but also to help us too. Yeah. That will help with our budget. But praise God for our stable of Bethlehem. We are happy.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And dear friends who are listening, you are invited.
Amen. Okay, there is our 6 children eating. Let's go join them. God bless you. Praise God.
Bless you. Bye.
Let's go in Jesus' name. Amen.